wish this coffee was a little bit hotter. I guess that's my fault. I steamed it, or not steamed it, but I put it on the tea kettle, and it's already chilled. I didn't make it like a professional like you.
Professional with the brew station?
Is that what you use?
Yeah, damn right, man. I love this thing. I mean, it's so easy. I don't have to deal with a coffee pot and all that kind of stuff. It just makes it a lot easier. I can just dispense it into my little Einstein Brothers coffee thing, and I'm good to go.
Einstein Brothers, you dare not use my thing I gave you?
What did you give me?
The Batman glasses, son.
I'm not using that for coffee.
Why?
Oh, man, those are for, like, juice. Who the hell drinks coffee out of translucent? That's, I don't like that at all.
Not me right now.
You drinking out of those?
No. Give me a minute. Hold on. I'll be right back. Making me feel bad? So, damn.
Man, we were going to have a good intro, too, but this has actually been really good banter for the last several minutes.
I don't judge you. Why are you judging what I'm drinking out of? Damn.
That voice that you're hearing, that is Andrew Van.
Of
the Van family.
Have we started this already?
Yeah, I guess so. I thought we were gonna do a cool intro, but then we started. This was clever banter. I enjoyed this, so I'm not going to get rid of this.
You're the one who liked the Tommy Lee Jones two-face quarter handle. And now I'm drinking out of it proudly.
Now that with coffee in it, what are you? I don't have a good adjective for it. But
Delta Burke?
You?
What are you, a designing woman?
Who are you? Julia Sugarbaker?
What are you, Frank Costanza?
Can't stand you.
yeah, so...
So that's Andrew Van, ladies and gentlemen. He's in Greenville, South Carolina. I am Jason Martin. I am in Bowling Green, Kentucky, home of the 5-4 Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers. Rocking and rolling here, and it is cold enough for me to be drinking coffee, which is probably going to make my voice sound better, and I am jacked up for this because it's been about a week, well, a little over a week. We've both had quite a busy last 10 days or so, so it's fun to get back and do this, and I think we've got a good topic and some good other stuff that I'm going to surprise you with, and this is going to be a rock'em, sock'em, wow, that was
real steel moment?
Damn right. We barely touched on it, but so I wasn't wrong on my, that's pretty good, huh?
No, it was very surprising. Would you say that movie is better than Rocky 3?
I can tell you I would be able to watch it more often than Rocky 3. Like, actually, I plan to own Real Steel. I could put that on and watch that again several times.
But it doesn't have Thunder Lips.
That's very true.
What about Rocky 5?
If we're talking about the new Rocky, see, I kind of thought Real Steel reminded me kind of the new Rocky.
Where he was like a out of work, out of shape, down on his luck.
Yeah, like that kind of plays into Jackman's character. It also kind of plays into the robot.
What's that with, what's his name? Kevin. Oh, no, not Marsden. What is his name? You know, I'm talking about the guy that was on Lost, who's a bad guy.
You talking about Kimi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome in that movie.
Why? Why is he always a bad guy?
Because look at that face and the way he smiles and the way he can glower at people. It's just a natural villain. There's some people that look like villains. There's some people that look kind of sketchy, like our boy from Grounded for Life that's been in Fringe and Traffic and a lot of other stuff that we love.
Eddie?
Departed. But Kevin Corrigan is the name I was looking for. But
Kevin Duran.
Kevin Corrigan is the guy from Grounded for Life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so they're both named
anybody named Kevin, pretty much.
If you name Kevin, you got problems. Scheming.
We know
maybe
it.
Kevin Hart.
I'll say this, too. The kid who played Hugh Jackman's kid was really good.
Kind of had a little Haley Joel Osment thing going on, like before he got really annoying. You know, like when he was
looking.
In the first movie and people were like, hey, this kid's got some talent. Then it was like, hey, I'm kind of weirded out.
Who do you think turned out weirder looking, Haley Joel Osment or the kid from Jerry Maguire?
That kid, man, that escapes me. What else has he done?
Jerry Maguire 2.
And the soon-to-be-released Jerry Maguire 3.5.
Straight to DVD. No, it's going to be like the X-Men movies. They're going to make a 2.5. What is his name? Jerry O'Connell. That's his name.
The kid or the... I was about to say, what is he talking about? Stand By Me? It's like, is now, this kind of time warp going on that I forgot?
Jonathan Lipnicki. He's his name. He actually is about to make some more movies, but really, he's just been doing little things like Stuart Little series. What's up, huh?
Ruined that book for me.
He kind of looks like a young Rick Schroeder.
Doyle?
Hey, don't mess with Schroeder, man. He got shot in the face.
I need you to cover this for about 30 seconds. Molly made her usual. We're now recording the podcast live. So
how does she know? How does she know?
It's either the podcast or anytime I sit down with a plate for dinner, she's like, boy, you're going to have to reheat that.
Molly being your 30-pound cat?
Yeah, right.
What?
This cat's in great shape.
Yeah, okay.
She really is.
Won't you post some pictures then on Facebook?
I can, but I don't really want to post.
You want to be that guy? You want to be the single guy in Bowling Green posting cat pictures?
Ladies, swoon. Look at my cat.
Ladies, swoon. This is how I take care of a pussy. Oh, yeah, that's right. Caption that, baby.
Just to get it out of the way, we are still having a few audio issues. They're not as prevalent, but we're still having a couple of things going in and out. But that just kind of happens. So that's not your – if you're listening to this, that's not on you. That's on the software we're using. We're trying to get through that. So just so you know, if that continues to happen, that's what it is. So we're doing best to work through it.
We apologize. We are on a very low budget.
As in zero? Well, no, as in 10 bucks a month, which is perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, because I'm good for the 2 months, right? I paid the rest of the year.
You're good for 1 month.
Oh, hey, this ain't rent. Damn, no landlord. What is this?
For 1 month because November's already paid.
What the hell? You got the guy from Spider-Man 3? Rent! Rent!
Please don't remind me about Spider-Man 3.
Oh, no, we're going to do a whole thing on that. That's a big...
Yeah, that's going to be a great podcast.
Greatest Marvel movie ever.
That's going to be a great podcast next year when the new one comes out, when Amazing Spider-Man comes out.
Which I have a really good feeling that's actually going to be really good.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, now talk for 30 seconds.
Let's see. Let's poll the audience. Who had a worse career? Jonathan Lipnicki, also known as Ray Boyd from Jerry Maguire. Jerry O'Connell, who played Frank Cushman. Jay Moore, who played Bob Sugar, or Cuba Gooding Jr., who played Rod Tidwell. Who do you think had a worse career after the movie came out in 1996? With a 15-year span, who had the worst? Surprisingly, I'm going to say not Jonathan Lipnicki. He's got two movies coming out, which is way more than Jay Moore. So,
woo-hoo, all right, I'm back. Jay Moore, huh?
You just missed it. I asked the question to poll the audience. Who's had a worse 15-year downslide between Jonathan Lipnicki, Jerry O'Connell, Jay Moore, or Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Cuba did Boat Trip, and that's the last thing anybody ever heard of him.
Well, he's done, like, straight-to-DVD movies.
Yeah, I know, but Cuba, I mean, he was the man.
If you look at on a downslide thing, yeah, from, like, going to winning the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, and then all of a sudden doing movies like Line Watch.
I mean, his brother, I knew his brother from Wild and Crazy Kids back in the day with Annette and Donnie Jeffcoat back on Nickelodeon. And then his brother, of course, did Hanging with Mr. Cooper later on. But now I would say his brother's in about as good a shape as he is. And, I mean, my man won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, for crying out loud.
I mean, after Pearl Harbor, it kind of went down from here because we have Rat Race, In the Shadow, Snow Dogs, Boat Trip.
God, can we go back and talk about how bad Rat Race was? Holy Toledo, film was terrible.
No, we won't waste time on that one. The Fighting Temptations, which I heard was pretty decent. Okay, now he got some points back here because we go back to Radio. Radio was good. Home on the Range, A Dairy Tale, Shadow Boxer. This is where it all gets depressing. Shadow Boxer, Dirty, Lightfield's Home Videos, Endgame, Norbit. He was in Norbit. What Love Is, Daddy Day Camp, American Gangster. I forgot he was in that.
He was in Norbit because he was turned down to be an extra in Pluto Nash.
Land Before Time 13. He played Koopa.
I saw the first one at the theater.
He played a character that scrubs your ass. He played Lufa. Hero Wanted in 2008. Harold. Line Watch. Gifted Hands, the Ben Carson story. The Way of War. The Devil's Tomb, Lies and Illusions, Hardwired, Wrong Turn at Tahoe, Ticking Clock, The Hit List, Sacrifice. And he's got three movies coming out, ladies and gentlemen, 2012, Red Tails, One in the Chamber, and Love Letters in the Sand.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our 2 minutes with IMDb.
Wow. That is amazing. That just, I can't. Can you? I'm looking at a picture right now from Rat Race. What the hell?
God, that movie was so bad. And it was, it's the theory I've had for a long time, which is if there's too many really big stars in it or too many names in it, then they're trying to overcompensate for something, and usually the movie's terrible. A lot of those films never even make it to the theater. They end up, you know, sitting on dollar shelves and favorites back in the day in video stores and stuff. But Rat Race made it to the theater, and it had like 15 very important people in it. And what turned out to be the truth was that movie sucked donkey balls.
They sit there, or they sit in your $3 bin at Big Lots.
Big Lots, also known as, in the words of my esteemed marketing professor, Alan Hall, the land of misfit marketing ideas.
Hey, those ideas can sit in my house all they want.
Yeah, I have one item from Big Lots that's one of my prized possessions, thanks to you.
Yeah, I'm right.
My talking Dennis Miller doll.
Mm-hmm. Which he didn't even know existed himself.
No, not until I sent him a picture of it. He's like, what the hell is this? Which is funny. He's like, shouldn't you have to sign off on something like that?
He was just, he didn't get his royalties off that or something?
He probably called afterwards and got the 20 cents.
Aw, that boy, the penny of that came from me.
All right, so we're going to get to this DC thing, and I got an interesting theory that I'm going to posit at the beginning and get your opinion on before we start talking about the individual films themselves. But we got a cool little news, what's happening segment, because I got several things to mention that I've read about over the last couple of days and a couple of personal experiences. So tell me, before we get to that, what's been happening in yo neck o' the woods?
Nothing much. Been working, cleaning up my house like an adult, and not much, really. I mean, my life is boring. What do you want from me? I got nothing. Nothing.
Well, that's cool, then. I've got a list.
Start with your list, then.
All right. First and foremost, and I know you will care about this, we are three-handed in the November 9. I watched all of the live stuff last night. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., I believe it is, on ESPN, will be the first ever live, 15-minute delayed, three-handed to get to the $8 million winner of the main event.
Wow.
And Ben Lamb is still in it. It was cool because Hellmuth was helping to announce it last night, and he basically made the opinion that Matt Gianetti, who went out fourth, was outplaying everybody. And he said that what's happened over the last several years, particularly in the main event, is that the guy who's playing the best generally doesn't win. And he said that guy was definitely playing the best, but he got beaten out. And he said Lamb basically should have been out, and he is not. He kind of sucked out on got lucky on a couple of things, but he's still in, although I think he's third in chips. And then there's a Stashko and one other guy whose name escapes me, but they're three-handed. And it's interesting because ESPN has 2 hours blocked off. That ain't going to be enough.
Nope.
That is not going to be enough. But it's kind of interesting, this whole live coverage thing that they've done. You remember the first time live poker was shown on TV? We both watched it. It was like Fox on New Year's Day or Thanksgiving. One of those. It was like a holiday. And they ran it, and they ran it for like 14 hours, but they had no idea how to do it for television.
No, it's like watching the Truman Show with a bunch of dudes around the table. It just wasn't shot well. I don't understand that.
Wasn't shot well in the commentary. I mean, they got winded because they didn't have anybody to replace them. It's like they didn't really factor in, you know, it's kind of boring to commentate poker for 15 hours. Because there's a lot of fold, fold, fold.
Yeah, it's the final table. There's going to be a lot of tight play, of course. So
we'll see who wins the November 9 tomorrow night and into Wednesday. All right, number two. Here's one out of left field. Do you know Carmen Sandiego? Of course you do. Not just because of the PBS show, but that's awesome, by the way. But guess who's about to ruin Carmen Sandiego, the game franchise and all the intellectual properties that go along with that character in one fell swoop.
Adam Sandler?
Jennifer Lopez set to star and produce in a feature film. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
And she's playing...
Carmen Sandiego.
No, I don't believe it.
Trust me, it's true.
Who's playing the chief?
We don't know any of that. I have a picture of the chief, which I'm debating putting as our picture for this podcast. Because the picture looks like she is not amused, and she shouldn't be, because Jennifer Lopez has destroyed three or four different careers of men in her life and her own with movies like Geely,
Monster-in-Law,
and such and such.
Made in Manhattan, yes!
Only movie she really made that was any good was Out of Sight, and that was kind of more despite her than anything else.
What about Enough?
I didn't see it, so I can't comment.
Aww.
So yeah, Carmen Sandiego movie. Who thinks they're a Carmen Sandiego movie? My hand's kind of halfway raised just because I'd be interested. Who thinks Jennifer Lopez is going to really make an awesome Carmen Sandiego movie as head producer and main star? My hand just went to the floor.
All I want is the Rockefeller's boom.
That's what I'm saying. Rockefeller has got to be there.
Bow, bow. Mm-hmm. Boom. Hey. Bow, bow.
They like to rob banks.
Arthur Brute. In jail. Damn it, why can't we get that?
God, we need to do a podcast with those guys. All right.
What about the other chief, the one from the cartoon, the one like the floating head, like it was like Max
disembodied voice.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan of the late her real name escapes me, but
not doing justice.
No, I'm not, you're right. Number three, cease and desist order has been sent to NeoGAF. NeoGAF, if you are unaware, is probably the main video game forum on the internet. Most of everybody inside the industry is a member there. It took me a year to get accepted into the forums, but a cease and desist order was sent to them by BioWare. Do you know why?
Huh?
Because the Mass Effect 3 full story features and ending have leaked all over the internet. So, and I haven't seen them, thank God, because I've avoided anything that has to do with that game, but you can find them, and the early indications were that they were terrible, and people were really disappointed in them and all this, which led me to believe maybe this was a hoax. But a hoax can't be perpetrated with a cease and desist order. That's illegal. So there's something to this.
A really smart hoax, huh?
A really illegal hoax.
Aww. They're just trying to make some money.
Yeah, leave them alone. I don't care because, you know, that's the game I think you and I both are probably most jacked for next year, along with BioShock. I'm going to wait and see what happens, but that's an interesting story. If you're a big Mass Effect fan, you don't like to have things spoiled for you, i.e. me, i.e. Andrew, avoid looking for Mass Effect content, pictures, or anything online right now because they're trying to scrub the internet of all this content. But you can ruin this game for you right now if you go on the internet and find it.
But if you purposely go and do that, you don't deserve to play the game.
Agreed.
Because then it's not suspenseful. There's no like yearning to like beat the game and see it for yourself. Kind of like why I don't care right now about True Blood, because you know I asked you for the spoilers of the season 4.
And I didn't want to tell you, but you kept asking, and so finally I was like, all right,
hey, I'm that guy. Whatever, you know.
And you know, if you were getting to the point where I don't know if I'm gonna have time to watch this, I kind of want to know what's going on in the story so I can talk about it. Then whatever.
Is the Carmen Sandiego movie is that really not gonna have Adam Sandler though?
No, he's too busy making Jack and Jill.
I'm looking at a poster for Jack and Jill. Yeah.
Hey, this was funny. Actually, I was listening to BS Report with Bill Simmons last week, and they were talking about going to a big Halloween party with John Hamm and a bunch of people, and he said the best costume because they all had to come as big time villains. Like, that was the theme of the party or whatever. He said the best costume was a guy who came in with a suit on and just had a green light around his neck and was wearing sunglasses, and he went as the executive who greenlit Jack and Jill.
Nice.
Pretty clever.
What do you think's better, that or if you came dressed up as Shooter McGavin, but you were actually Christopher McDonald?
What'd be bad about that is half the people wouldn't recognize him.
Because he's so old and decrepit?
It looks too much like Ray Wise if Ray Wise was some kind of comedian.
And he doesn't want to, like, go to Red Lobster, apparently? Shit.
Actually, he's a mixture of, like, Ray Wise and Joe Piscopo.
Speaking of stereotypical mobsters, the Grand Theft Auto V trailer. Have you seen the speculation behind that?
Well, I mean, I've watched the trailer.
But have you seen the speculation behind it, like, what it could be?
Probably not. I mean, it's...
People are speculating that it's really heavily... it's based on Tommy Vercetti.
What, going to San Andreas?
It's not San Andreas, it's like Los Santos.
Well, it's Los Santos, it's L.A., but...
Yeah. That I like those reports. It kind of makes sense, because he's talking about coming from the East Coast, all the crap that he did, moving with his family, starting a simple life, from getting away from what he was. And then, like, they show, like, a little shot of, like, his side view, and it looks like an older Tommy in, like, a suit, and... has like a lot of similar elements, and I was just like, "Holy God, that would be."
I hope that's true because,
awesome.
As you know, he's my favorite. Because Vice City was the game that got me to buy a PS2, and I just loved everything about it. I kind of hate it when they skipped from Liberty straight to Los Santos. I kind of want them to do a Vice with the new generation, or maybe they wait until the next generation and do it. But that's cool. I haven't read that anywhere, but that would be cool if that's where they went. There's also a character in it that looks kind of like CJ.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Because, I mean, yeah, because they were, like, neighboring cities. I would love that, because that would be the first Grand Theft Auto to actually bring in the two major, like, plot, like, two games together. It makes sense, because Tommy, to me, like, had the most personality. It was just...
Yeah.
I mean, Nico was great in 4. Well, Nico and,
Roman.
And, Roman. Cousin!
You
yeah.
will not harm my cousin!
Yeah. They really still need to make, like, a full-length Grand Theft Auto movie just based on, like, the major cutscenes from 4. I would so watch that in one sitting.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, you and I were both enormous fans of that game and put way too much time into it.
I wonder if Jonah Hill's going to be in the new Carmen Sandiego. He's in everything nowadays anyway.
I can tell you one thing he doesn't need to be in.
What?
Alan Gregory. That's one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen.
Watched
the pilot of it and was like, wow, what the hell were they thinking doing this? And I see Jonah Hill in the Modern Warfare commercial last night.
I actually like that.
With Sam Worthington. I did too. And I think I tweeted something like, wow, I think that ad's really cool. I still don't care about that game because I've played that game. Played it last year and a year before. And you know what I played 2 years ago? That game.
Well, you kind of sound like people who don't play Madden or NCAA, and they're like, oh, I've seen this. You know, to each their own. I may get the game down the road, but really, I just haven't had time lately to play anything. I'm still only 4% into Batman Arkham City.
I haven't played it again since the last time we talked because I made a decision that I'm going to wait until Thanksgiving weekend, like the holiday, and that's when I'm going to put in the time to go through it. I've actually played through the first 8 chapters of Uncharted 3. I played that Saturday, and I've decided I'm going to wait on Batman and play it after because I want to take my time and all that. So I'm much further in Uncharted than I am in Arkham right now. And then Skyrim Friday, which I'm finally going to sit down and actually play in Elder Scrolls. So I'm kind of excited about that. And then Tuesday, Assassin's Creed. Also Friday, Harry Potter. And again, I want to thank WB for screwing the pooch on the full set. Because they completely bombed out. Not only is the set completely underwhelming from an aesthetics perspective, and there's a nice little castle-built limited edition set from Britain, but none of them are the Ultimate Edition Blu-rays that they've been releasing 2 a year for the last, I guess, 2 years now. Or they've been releasing 2 every 6 months or something like that. I have the first 2 of them, and they're freaking awesome. It's like, eventually they're going to release that, so why would you buy that now? Now, the seven part 2 that's coming out this coming Friday does have a lengthy interview with Daniel Radcliffe and J.K. Rowling together talking about the series and all sorts of other things. That certainly interests me. I certainly want to have a copy of what I consider to be the best movie of 2011 and one of the 5 best movies of the past 5 years, but I will not be buying that set. I imagine in 2 years they may have the set out that we really want as fans, but that set is a joke. In my opinion.
So it's pretty much like the Lord of the Rings Blu-ray, the first set?
Have you
seen... That was non-extended?
Yeah, I mean, that one wasn't all great either, but have you seen the Harry Potters that have come out to this point, the boxes where it's like years 1 to 4,
Yeah, the Ultimate Gift box sets.
Yeah, that's what this is. That's all this is. And it's not even extended. Yeah, it's ridiculous. What are they thinking? I mean, this is Christmas. I mean, we're getting close to Christmas season. I know they want to try and double dip people. I get it.
Because they want to milk that franchise as much as they can, and they will.
I get it, but it's a disservice, in my opinion. Plus, they cost themselves the chance to be the holiday item outside of your iPads and, you know, Samsung Galaxy 2s and whatever the hell else is going on. I mean, it would have been a huge thing if they had done that right, but they completely bombed it, in my opinion. Another thing that was bombed, the Beavis and Butthead return. I watched the first one, and okay. I discovered quickly that I was done.
All right.
That show is still the same, but there's no music videos on MTV anymore, really. So do you know what they do? They watch Jersey Shore, Teen Pregnants, or whatever all those bulls.
So the show's on MTV.
Is. Right. And they about that stuff. And the story that I saw was about vampires and getting chicks and all this. It just wasn't funny. It just wasn't funny. And I like Mike Judge, but there's going to be a lot of people there. I have seen a lot of people like it. I just think it was garbage. So if you're wanting my opinion on it, avoid it. What else we got real quick? Puss in Boots, I have not seen. Apparently, it's really good.
Number one movie!
So, I do plan to see that. I did see Tower Heist, and I can give you, or I can tell you that you saw a lot of it in the trailer. Eddie Murphy's only in about a third of it. Now, he is great in everything he's in, but he's not, in my opinion, in it enough. And the ending's a little abrupt. It's a good film. It's exactly what you think you're going to get when you go see a Brett Ratner action film with some comedy in it. It's Rush Hour. But it's not Rush Hour 1. It's more like Rush Hour 2.
Aww.
So, you know, maybe, you know, it's certainly not a waste of your money if you go see it. But I don't think that it's going to save your life or anything either. This coming Friday, I am really excited for J. Edgar. I have been for a while. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. Big, you know, I've always been fascinated by the CIA. DiCaprio is incredibly talented and love Eastwood directing it, which means it's going to get an even-handed political treatment. So I think that movie's definitely going to be one to watch as we get towards the fall season. Another movie that we're kind of excited about is American Reunion.
Yeah, that I do want to see that because I want to see justice done to that whole franchise. Please. I was hoping they would not end that like whole series on the past three movies they put through the DVD based around Eugene Levy and all the Stifler brothers / cousins.
And just every bit of TNA that we can possibly get away with.
Pretty much. It's like, let's take the National Lampoon ripoffs and just shit all over them and put Stifler in them. A Stifler of some sort. Which makes no sense. But yeah.
Now we get the Stifler, and like I gave you that example. I'm not going to do it here. Maybe people would want to see it for themselves. But looks like Stifler's kind of back in form. I'd almost forgotten about our boy from Rookie of the Year that plays the lead. Is his name Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's now got like full beard. Which looked really weird. Like, when I first saw him, who the fuck is that?
You mean like Brad from Home Improvement now?
Worse than that. I mean, my man looks like Grizzly Adams.
My man looks like he ate the kid that played Brad on Home Improvement.
But I was impressed that, you know, I haven't seen anything from Mina Savari in forever. She's in it. Shannon Elizabeth was like the icon of the late 90s in terms of sex appeal. She was Megan Fox before Megan Fox.
Now?
And I haven't seen her in a while, and she still looks great. And she's in it. And obviously Hannigan and Jason Biggs and Finch, Stifler, everybody that you would associate with that film is in it.
Tara
Eugene
Reed?
Levy is in it. Tara Reid is in the movie, not dead.
What about her friend with the wavy hair that was all...
Oh, the kind of like the red hair kind of more annoying.
Raspy voice?
Yeah. I don't know if I saw her or not, actually. I would be...
John Cho?
She's not in it.
I assume Stifler's mom did it? Because she's huge.
She's got a big role in it, actually.
Yeah, you think?
No, I mean, they showed it in the trailer, kind of what they're alluding to with her.
She's the one getting married?
No, but she kind of gets into a tryst with another character.
Not Finch?
No.
Well, this is
the trailer, so I can tell you. It's Eugene Levy.
That's what I was going to say next. I don't want to see it.
Apparently had been dead for a while.
Who?
Dead or gone, one. I think she died.
Jim's mom?
Yeah, Jim's mom.
Well, no, she didn't die in 3. She was in 3.
Well, something happened to where they're not together and haven't been for years. And he's all lonely and walks into the room with Stifler's mom towards the end of the trailer, and you can kind of tell what's going to happen. So, you know, I like that world. I like those characters. I don't give a crap about Bandcamp and all that crap that you were talking about a minute ago, the straight to DVD and
Bandcamp, the Naked Mile, and the other one.
Even though Jackman Smith's kind of hot, but yeah, that's not. I don't even call that American Pie. To me, American Pie was 1, 2, and Wedding, and that's the last we've heard about it until Reunion.
You know that they even made a Road Trip 2?
Yes, I did know that. No, I did not watch that.
Not Eurotrip. There is a Road Trip 2. I saw it like 5 a.m. in the morning on a TBS.
Guess who wasn't associated with it? Todd Phillips or anybody else.
But guess who was? DJ Qualls.
You know
what? He was in it for like the first 10 minutes, and that was it.
I mean, his roles now are one episode of Big Bang Theory, episode as a pedophile in CSI like 5 years ago, like season 8, actually, I think is what it was. And some other like random nothing, but yeah. He's kind of gone the way of Michael Rapaport.
Oh, they need to make a movie together.
Michael Rapaport was in a movie we were talking about, and we were talking about Michael Rapaport. We didn't bring it up, but I found out Michael Rapaport was in this film with somebody else, and I cannot remember for the life of me what it was. I thought the movie was good. Then it was Michael Rapaport, and then I saw one star, and I'm like, I wonder if it was just Michael Rapaport. They like knocked 2 stars off the possible score because I'd always thought that movie was probably okay.
He should have a show back on TV. I'd watch it.
I mean, The War at Home was a bona fide rating success for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I don't know.
There's more than what is it? How to Be a Gentleman.
Ouch. More than Lone Star. More than Three Agents.
Bleep My Dad Says.
That was on for a full year.
A full year?
Yes.
Wow.
Got one full season.
People watch anything.
All right. Quickly on 3 new shows, and then we're going to get to the topic at hand. I already told you this, but I will tell you right now, I think one of the definitely the high points of the new television season is New Girl with Zooey Deschanel and her crew on Fox. That show's on Wednesday nights right before Glee, and it is freaking great. Ratings are through the roof. It's already been renewed, basically.
Glee's on Tuesday. Get it right.
My fault. I'm sorry. I got it mixed up.
That's right. Thank you.
But it's a great show. You should definitely be watching it. I'm not going to go into too much about it, but you should just watch the show. Basically, the show starts with her breaking up, or she's already broken up with her boyfriend or whatever like that, and she's distraught, doesn't know what to do, ends up moving in with these 3 guys.
It's like, all like supermodels or something?
No, one of them's like this stuck-up, I'm God's gift to women, but he's kind of an ass clown. He's Stifler, basically. Then one of them is a guy who played professional basketball in Latvia and whose career is now over, so he's coming back and trying to fit back into society. And then the third one's kind of your even-keeled Ted Mosby type.
Speaking of basketball, did you see those reports about Chris Humphries and Kim Kardashian like kind of reconciling or trying to, you know, make amends and trying to work on their marriage now?
No, and that's because Kim Kardashian is and the Hiltons
terrible?
And Nicole Richie and all that stuff are famous for being famous. They've done nothing.
Make porn.
Yeah, to earn where they are. And apparently, I believe very strongly that Kardashian's side of that wedding was to try and make her more famous.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. What was it? The original reports came out like she was upset that she felt that he was lazy and was doing it for more fame, which, duh, too. But also the fact that like she felt he was lazy because he never went to work. I'm like, there's a thing called a strike right now in basketball land. Just saying. You should probably, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Pay attention to your husband's career if you actually love him?
Yeah, well, she doesn't. All she wanted was a new reality show, more of her face on the front of People and In Touch and Us and Style and everything else. It disgusts me, quite frankly. I don't have time for Kim Kardashian in my life. You know, you and I, we have enough in terms of, you know, our geek culture and the stuff that we like. And thank God that we don't give a rat's ass about reality TV and these faux celebrities who people put on pedestals who are scum. quite frankly. They are scum.
A little bit. Oh, speaking of reality TV, guess how bad society is when Fear Factor's back on TV?
Yeah, Joe Rogan looks terrible, too. I saw the I saw the commercial for it, and I realized it was Fear Factor long before it said Fear Factor Returns. That is not as much about society as it is about how crappy NBC is. Yeah. NBC is unbelievably bad right now. Their Thursday shows don't rate great. Nothing else on their network does. Prime Suspect is basically done. But one of the other two things I was going to tell you real fast, the other two shows that I think are worth paying attention to right now, Grimm is a very good show. I like it a lot. It's done by the people behind Buffy outside of Joss Whedon, basically. And you can tell when you watch it based on kind of how the monsters look and how their mouths are structured and some of the things around it. But it's just a cool idea. I like the whole story around it. You know, detective finds out he's part of this ancient clan of people called Grimms who can actually see monsters. Stop me if you've heard that before. Buffy being able to see vampires and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Grimm basically has to deal with things that are from Grimm's fairy tales that are in the real world. Like, there's, you know, a bunch of big bad wolves rolling around called Blutbots. And then there's basically the equivalent of the Three Bears, which is the episode from Friday night, which there was like a blonde girl who broke into their house with a boyfriend and ended up he got sacrificed and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, it's kind of a play off of Grimm's fairy tales, but it's cool. And I like the way it's done. It's shot well. I like the guy who plays the lead. It is a very interesting show. You should give it a chance. The other thing you definitely need to be watching, in my opinion, and I'm not surprised that I like it, I'm surprised I like it this much, is Once Upon a Time. I've now say I didn't get to watch last night's, but I've seen the first two, and I'll be watching the third one later tonight. But it's a great show. Even though it is a shameless plug for Disney, which is okay considering they're on ABC, but you know, the character goes to Storybrooke or whatever, where all these people are trapped. These fantasy, fairy tale characters are trapped and don't know it because a curse was put on by the queen from the Snow White story. But you got Jiminy Cricket and all these people in it who are actual human beings and all this kind of stuff that are trapped in this thing. And Jennifer Morrison's character, I won't go into it because you find out in the pilot some more about her, but she's kind of the key to trying to end it and break the queen's curse from years and years and years away. And I had no idea about it because she was just a Bales bondsman who kind of finds out and is skeptical at first and then starts to slowly realize that her place is kind of important and who she actually is in the stories or whatever. But it is real cool if you like fantasy stuff. It's not like Fables. It's not like Bill Willingham's awesome comics or whatever. It's its own kind of story, but if you like Pinocchio and Cinderella and Snow White and all that kind of stuff, kind of in a more adult setting, it's not like it's completely inappropriate for kids. It's not. It's fine. I mean, kids can watch it. Maybe some of the content might scare them a little bit, but it's a really cool show and something you should try and throw on your DVRs on Sunday nights if you get a chance. So Once Upon a Time and Grimm both get good nods for me. Grimm's rating really well. Once Upon a Time's rating great. It's kind of weird, too. Grimm actually won Friday night with a 1.8. Chuck, which was on right before it, 0.9.
Aww.
Which sucks, but it doesn't matter because we're already entitled to the last 11 episodes of Chuck. First two have been interesting. I know you haven't seen them, so we can't talk about them.
Good. But topic at hand.
Yep.
We are here to discuss with the recent arrival of
Year the One.
DC Universe Batman Year One movie. We are going to discuss the DC Universe movies up to this date and the two soon to follow, or maybe possibly three, if rumors are correct. So, well, do you want to start it by chronological order or the ones we think from worst to best?
I was thinking earlier today, I have a theory, or I have something I think is important to mention about these films, but I'm trying to figure out if it would be better placed later. So I think I'm going to hold off on it until we get a little bit later in the discussion. I guess let's go chronologically. We can talk about how we feel about them. They don't necessarily have to be in some kind of order. We can just go in order of how they were put out.
2007, Superman Doomsday. That movie can go eat my ass with a silver spoon. That is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It makes no fucking we are explicit sense.
But it's got Superman in it.
Fuck you! It's got,
and it's got Doomsday in it.
Fuck you! I hate that movie so bad, man. And his voice, and his Superman's voice by Adam Baldwin.
Was that the first one?
Yes.
That was the first DC Universe movie?
Yes, we've had this discussion before. We like disagreed with me until we found it, and I was like, "Oh, what up? I win." So that kicked it off, and unfortunately for me, that thing was garbage. It had nothing to do with the whole Death of Superman series back in the early 90s. Nothing! Except for a long-haired Superman coming back from the grave and a Doomsday monster.
Maybe he was hanging out with hippie Thor from Ultimate Avengers 1.
What?
Long-haired Superman.
Aw, man.
I know we're not talking about Marvel, but...
With the mullet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
I want to play devil's advocate on some of these. I think we have a few disagreements, but I can't disagree on this one. That movie was garbage.
That movie's so terrible because Superman Doomsday, like the span was so good. It just took that whole thing to like another level. It was one of those like major moments where it's Superman, man. He died in the comics. This is before, it basically was like the big moment where, oh my god, what is DC going to do when their guy is dead? Because nowadays, superheroes dying is a joke in DC and Marvel. Because DC has a concept of the multiverse, where basically there are different dimensions, there are different interpretations, there are different worlds.
Well, they did.
Well, yeah, right. Well, we'll get to that. But for the longest time, for like 60 years running, DC has this concept of there are different worlds. There are different versions of you, different versions of me, different timelines. Like if different little things in life change or different decisions were made, these are the alternate realities. If for instance, it's kind of like it's almost like the butterfly effect concept of like, if for me, for instance, if I didn't get fired from a certain job years ago, I wouldn't have worked at Barnes & Noble. If I didn't work at Barnes & Noble, then I wouldn't have met the people in my life and ergo be with like people that I'm around or, you know, go back to school and stuff like that. There's different little scenarios and it's kind of cool when you think about it. But basically, that's the gist of the multiverse idea. So basically, in DC Comics, whenever someone dies, pretty much the excuse is they either come back in some bullshit fashion or form. Most of the time, it's like some alternate reality person comes in like, I'm blah, blah, blah from Earth 3. I jumped the portal. Now I'm here. I'm
look
just
at me.
Stay.
I have green tights instead of blue.
Ooh, look at me. I got a unicorn on my head.
Now give me some candy.
Fuck. We are explicit, but fuck those things.
Well, the thing about it was, early on, the multiverse, like you said, was a cool idea. Because, I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but I like the butterfly effect.
I do, too.
The first one.
Think about it. Not the movie, but I love
I like the first one.
The idea is so cool.
Yeah, it is.
Think about it. You know, like, think about the little things that would be different about your life if you didn't make a certain decision or you didn't meet somebody. How different your life would be for that moment, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. But it just got so out of whack, and there were way too many cooks in the kitchen at DC who were part of it, whether it was Morrison, who to me is just way off the reservation a lot of times, and some of the stuff that it just makes it so hard to follow. You remember we had that caller question or whatever email of the week where he was asking what to do, and we both said real quickly, don't read anything that has Crisis in it.
Yeah.
Because it got to be so confusing that even people that read comics for years and years and years, you, or ones that were fans as a kid and hadn't read for a decade and then came back about 4 years ago, me, no idea what's going on. Nor was it interesting because it was so confusing, you almost needed to like take notes as you read a comic, and that's a little bit much.
I mean, think about it this way. Here's a simple concept of the multiverse thing. If I didn't go back and work at a so-called company years ago, I would have bumped into you. You may not have met some of the friends I've introduced you to. You may not have gotten into the comics as soon as you did, and you may not have met the people that you did to this day, and you wouldn't come out of school. Maybe we wouldn't have done this podcast, and we wouldn't be able to give a shout-out to Richard's Comics of 1214A, Lawrence Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 2607, area code 864-271-1104. Give him a call. Tell him that you think the multiverse sucks, or you can just email him at ramorgan@ ix.netcom.com. What the hell is that? What the hell is IX?
I don't want to say it again because I keep saying it every time, but that looks like something you would have found on Lycos or Netscape.
Angel Fire, what up, Glitter Page?
GeoCities. Oops, this link is broken.
But, I mean, the voice cast, too, in Superman Doomsday is awful. I mean, Adam Baldwin is... we love Adam Baldwin.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We love Adam Baldwin, but he was awful. And it's not his fault. It's the direction in a lot of these movies is so bad. I don't understand how they get such decent voice acting cast, but it's just so bad. It's like they all just went to their bathrooms in their homes and read lines and recorded it on Skype, i.e. us. Like, you have Adam Baldwin, who played Clark Kent Superman. You have Anne Heche as Lois Lane.
You know the last thing Anne Heche did that I cared about?
Harrison Ford?
6 days, seven nights.
James Marsden as Lex Luthor? No thanks. John DiMaggio? Who, like, is fantastic in so many things. Bender especially. Good God.
God, that's awesome, man.
He was Toyman, which was awful in this movie. And then you have Swoozy Kurtz? Is Martha
Sisters.
Kent? Ray Weiss, your boy! He was Perry White! Yeah, that's right. You had Kevin Smith was in it as a random grumpy old man. Here's a good one for you. Adam Wiley. You know who that is?
Adam Wiley. Name sounds familiar.
Little ginger kid, the one that was in was it Picket Fences?
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, wow. That kid.
Picket Fences is a good show.
Oh, that kid. Kindergarten Cop.
It's not a tumor.
What is a tumor?
Yeah. That, it was so hideous watching me because that storyline is so iconic and they got it so wrong. I just could not fathom why they even bothered. And yet that was the movie that kicked it all off. That's worse because it's just so bad due to the context of the material. The next movie, the next year, was Justice League, The New Frontier. That movie was just boring.
Yeah, it was. Remember it came for free with Justice League, the game, which was equally mediocre?
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing really wrong with The New Frontier. It just wasn't interesting. Like, it was just kind of there. It was like, cool, it doesn't look that bad, it's kind of entertaining. Not really entertaining, it's just kind of, I like seeing these characters animated on screen, but there is nothing happening. I would rather watch Justice League, the animated series. Thank you very much.
I mean, the voice cast was weird, too. I mean, you had David Boreanaz as Hal Jordan.
Sense of theme here.
Neil Patrick Harris was the Flash, which was okay, but it wasn't. He didn't have personality. It sounded like a lot of the lines were just delivered if they were just sitting in their bathroom reading a script that they got mailed to their house. Kira Sedgwick as Lois Lane. Brooke Shields as Carol Ferris. Jeremy Sisto was Batman.
Man, damn.
No, wait, Batman gets worse. You'd be going to get that thing. But
yeah, I know.
Kyle MacLachlan as Superman? Really? Phil Morris, King Faraday? And they kept making more of these movies. The only decent one was Keith David as the center.
It's because Keith David is awesome in anything he does.
Yeah. Keith David could be, he'd be like, just you could do anything. He'd do tampon commercials. I'd listen to it. I'd buy that brand. I'd buy that for a dollar. And then we get the atrociousness that same year of what was Batman colon Gotham Knight.
Oh, my God, please.
I'm going to let you rip that one because I've done the past, too. You go rip that one now.
You, Andy, know how big a fan of the Matrix trilogy I am.
Uh-huh.
You know very well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much I like the Animatrix?
Not as much as me, which is not...
Yeah, no.
That kind of didn't make no sense, but yeah, that's how much it hurts my brain thinking about the Animatrix, because it makes no sense.
The only one I liked was the one that was kind of done like computer animation where they were inside a ship.
That was a ship?
That was like the first one. That was about the only one.
Oh, ship. Okay.
Yeah. that was really the only one I liked. Gotham Knight made the Animatrix look like Batman the Animated Series. I was so jacked up for Gotham Knight before it came out because I didn't know really exactly what it was going to be. And then in the weeks leading up to it, like, okay, different stories. So it's kind of going to be the Animatrix. Cool. Some talented people associated with it. There was one in particular that I remember. And of course, we both own it again now thanks to Arkham. But where it was kind of like he almost looked like a stick figure who was protecting kids that were bullying. I don't remember it enough to really discuss it in detail. All I know is that film made me cry as an adult. And not because I was emotionally invested in it. It made me cry because Batman's name, logo, and intellectual property was associated with that piece of refuse. That film was terrible, and I can't even believe it. I don't even think it deserves to be part of DC Universe, those films, because it's nothing like any of the others.
Okay, again, terrible voice cast. I mean, it brought back Kevin Conroy
right.
for all the features, but the films were terrible.
They were terrible. They had a voice in.
What is it? Jason Marsden as Thomas Wayne? Rich from Step by Step played Bruce Wayne's father? No.
Rip Thorne as Alfred? No, I made that up.
I wish. Aw, man. Gary Durden, a.k.a. Wark, was from CSI. He was Crispin Allen, whoever that is.
So this was before he wrecked a motorcycle and attacked a reporter.
Oh, before they shot him in the face on CSI also?
Before they had to write him off the show?
Yeah, they shot him in the face. That's pretty badass when your character goes out getting shot in the face. Just saying. Don't go out by just moving to another city or getting a job in Costa Rica. No, no, no. They shot him in the face. Straight up, that's pretty badass, just gonna say. No, just Gotham Knight, just there was no...
Nothing redeeming about that film at all.
Nothing.
Nothing. They were all bad.
It was a moneymaker because the Dark Knight came out.
No, because Batman Begins is coming out, right?
No, that was Dark Knight. Dude, this came out in 2008. That was
yeah, you're right. You're right.
So
that made it worse.
Let's just bring on the cash cow a little bit. So here's the thing. To those who were Batman, true Batman fans, none of us were like, okay, this is awesome. Doesn't make any sense.
Face.
To those who are Batman fans who just want to watch like the one movie, I'm sure they were confused as all balls.
Yeah, I mean, it made no sense. Batman didn't even have Batman in them were different. One of them was like a Japanese. It was like the prelude to Batman Inc.
Ugh.
Which, if you don't know what that is, you can Google it. We're not going to talk about it. But all yeah, right. Gotham Knight is by far the worst of all of them.
All right. Well, before we start on the next movie, it's been 50-some minutes. Should we take a break and begin part two? Which we're going to start part two with a good movie, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's one of the, two best?
Yeah, I would say that. It's definitely one of my favorites. So.
Yeah, it's freaking great. Lauren Montgomery's first one. All right, so yeah, we can do that. So this has been fun. We barely got to the main topic, but that is kind of the way it rolls. We have some cool...
We're teasing you people listening to this. You know you want to listen to the second part now.
Get yourself some coffee.
Do stuff in the bathroom like I'm about to do.
Drop a no, you're not.
How much you want to bet?
I don't have time for you to do that. We've got to keep moving.
No, we don't. We can FaceTime.
No, we can't.
Yes, we can. I'll bring my iPad in there right now. Come on.
Exactly why I will not be FaceTiming.
All
right, so this concludes PARTONE of Certifiable Total Recall for this November the 7th, 2011. More on DC Universe. And some other crazy randomness from Andrew and myself up next. And for now, you can still close it with your phrase.
We out.